You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Another college football weekend and professional football weekend in the books. We will get ready to get your feedback about it here on the Gym Class. That and more coming your way for a Monday, the 27th of September. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented by Jupaco Community Credit Union each and every day right here on KGYM. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. That is their website. You can also go to our website at kgymradio.com to click and find out more about our good friends at Dupaco. Good show coming up for you. Again, we'll talk a little football, a little Ryder Cup, and more coming up with you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app. Please download it if you have not done so already, and your smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join me coming up in a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass here today as we take you through a Monday. Always love to hear from you and always encourage you to do so on the text line at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. You can also dial us up at that very number if you'd like to pick up the phone and go that route. Again, that is 319-366-1600. As Mark joins me here on a Monday, it was a busy weekend, and we're here to wrap everything up. How you doing?
Fun weekend. Anxious to talk about it.
Not as much fun as the 12 individuals representing the United States had up in Kohler and Sheboygan. May still be up there. May still be partying at this present time. I'm not sure on that. We'd have to get confirmation, but good for them. They had a great time, and by golly, if you're getting on them on social media like some people are, then you just don't get it. So great win for the United States in the Ryder Cup over the weekend.
It was. It was an epic win, 19-9, setting a record for most points in this present-day format, and the post-match news conference with all the players. I wouldn't say they were tanked, but they were well into the cups, and who could blame them? They were celebrating, having fun. Justin Thomas urged at the end of the news conference for Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau to hug it out, and so they did.
Yep.
But, yeah, that was a huge beatdown. It looked that way on paper and never plays out that way on paper, but it did this time.
Yeah, it did. It did. And you can kind of compare that to, you know, a 19-9 score as far as a Ryder Cup is concerned is kind of akin to like 52-7 as far as a football game is concerned. It was never close. The thing was over basically after Friday morning. Definitely after Friday afternoon when the European team did not come through as per usual in the Friday afternoon format. So good win for the Americans, great win for the Americans, and they'll do it again in a couple years, I believe, outside, Rome. So we'll see how that one plays out with the pro-European crowd for that one. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Football coming up tonight, and football talk and more. We've got the Cyclone Sideline Show coming your way tonight at 6:30. That'll be on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM. Tonight on the Gym OT, 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM, an interesting Monday Night Football game in the NFC East. It'll be Dallas and Philadelphia, who have probably set themselves apart as the top two teams in a not-too-great NFC East once again, but we'll have that for you tonight again at 6:30 with the pregame and about 7:20 with the kickoff. And how will NFL officials screw this one up? We'll get to that later. It was not a good weekend for them. I can say that confidently.
Many games across the board included, and at the core of it, is this stupid pass interference penalty that is so penal. I just don't understand why it still sticks around. You can be down a score with 30 seconds left, heave it downfield, get a pass interference, and it's a 50-yard penalty. It's so ridiculous.
And usually it's a judgment call. Not every time, but usually. I'm with you. I've been a advocate of the 15-yard pass interference call, and I think it should go to the NFL, but that's for a whole different day. Let's start with college football. Iowa and Iowa State, as the Hawkeyes, a win is a win. I believe that was the first line of the Kirk Ferentz news conference on Saturday early evening after Iowa's 24-14 win over Colorado State. The Hawkeyes remain unbeaten, and they get ready quickly for Maryland coming up on Friday night. Short week, keep that in mind. And a week that's going to be thrown off a little bit because, as we know, Kirk Ferentz is a creature of habit. This is hardly a week of habits this week. Friday night game, which Kirk does not like. He has said that before. Leaving early, less preparation, et cetera, et cetera. You can bet your bottom dollar that Saturday night the attention was already on Maryland for this Iowa football team. So we'll see how that all plays out. But is it going to go down in the Smithsonian of Iowa victories? Absolutely not. But as Kirk said, a win is a win.
That was certainly underwhelming, 24-14 over Colorado State. I think almost every season you have one of these. Not always, but a lot of times. But Iowa fans, did you feel better Saturday night than your compatriots in Ames and Minneapolis and Madison? I think probably so. And Iowa maintained its number five ranking nationally. You can agree or disagree with that. But I'm going to submit there's only two teams that are head and shoulders above everybody else, and that's Alabama and Georgia. Everybody else, you can almost throw a blanket over. And Iowa did win the football game. Six ranked teams got beat. A lot of folks beating up on Spencer Petras. I don't get it. Petras being the Iowa quarterback. I mean, he threw for 224 yards and two touchdowns, about three-fourths of the Iowa offense. And, again, I'm not a Petras apologist. He's not an all-Big Ten quarterback. I get it. But there's so many things that can go wrong in the passing game. The wrong routes being run. Lack of protection. You know, the play calling itself. And please get rid of that tunnel screen. Would you please rip it out of that playbook? As a horrible play call and a bad decision by Petras on that interception and long return. And once more, if you don't have a rushing game to support your passing game, that makes it all the more difficult. Iowa rushed for a net 54 yards. All those things add up. It's not always on the quarterback. How about that beautiful throw that Petras made to Keegan Johnson? I mean, that was a thing of beauty. Now, the one to Laporta was a no-brainer. I think you and I could have thrown that one.
Might have been able to get that one downfield to him. Might have been.
All I'm saying is that you just can't point the finger at the quarterback all the time. There's so much more that goes into it. And, yeah, I think Petras is at fault sometimes. But much more goes into it than just the guy throwing the pass.
319-366-1600. That is a text line. Love to hear from you. Phone lines, if you'd like to go that route. Again, 319-366-1600. And my first thought about the game, I'm right with you as far as Spencer Petras is concerned. He's not going to be asked at this point of his career to win games. Now, with Maryland looming, with Penn State looming, who knows how that is going to change. They may need Spencer Petras to step up and do such things. We'll see. The game as a whole, Jack Campbell, terrific. Defensive player of the week, as far as the Big Ten is concerned, the junior linebacker out of Cedar Falls is a manimal back there. No doubt about it. Could be the Big Ten defensive player of the year right now, but there's still plenty of games to be played. The O-line did not have their greatest game as far as Iowa football is concerned. Welcome Keegan Johnson and Andre Bruce IV as well. You're going to see them a lot more, I think, as far as this Iowa offense is concerned. And that is a good thing. And nothing against Nico Reganey. Nothing against Charlie Jones. But Keegan Johnson's going to be the guy that's going to stretch defenses. And there was a... You can bet your bottom dollar Brian Ferentz and Kirk Ferentz knew what they were doing by putting Keegan Johnson out there and getting him the ball against Colorado State with these two games coming up. Hey, there's a little something different to look at as far as game film is concerned. Then you had a little bit of a trickeration down by the goal line after the fumble. Not sure that's the greatest time to bring that out against Colorado State, but you needed to win. Hey, look, how many teams that had close games lost? Like you said, six rated teams fell, and more favorites also fell. That weren't necessarily rated. We're looking at you, PJ Fleck in Minnesota at this time. You don't always win those games. Iowa found a way to win the game. And I think credit to the Hawkeyes as far as that is concerned.
42-22 on the text line. The offensive line needs to grow a little bit. I think people are way too impatient these days. This is a young team. They're good. Give them time. Petras is doing great. I wholeheartedly agree about the offensive line. Petras was sacked three times, often didn't have a whole lot of time to throw, and 54 yards rushing. That's not good. This offensive line needs to get better, but it's an offensive line with one senior in the two deep, and that being Kyler Schott. Yes, you have Linderbaum, who has a wealth of experience, but you've got a guy like Connor Colby starting as a true freshman, Mason Richmond, a redshirt freshman on the offense. I mean, these are young guys. Now they need to mature. They need to play better. And I disagree that Petras is great, but he's been serviceable. Listen, this is a team that's 4-0, ranked number 5 in the country. What do you want?
You want to win by. In this day and age, if everybody is a media man or woman on social media, by God, you got to win by 45 points every time out.
You want to be Clemson?
Yeah.
You are 2-2 Clemson, by the way.
Barely in the ratings. Probably shouldn't be in the ratings, Clemson. You want to be Florida State, who's 0-4 right now. David and Hudson, the offense is becoming worrisome. Hopefully they can figure out something for some consistency. It's true. And it's going to get better. I don't think there's any doubt about it. If you've watched Kirk Ferentz for 20 years plus, this is usually what happens. And it is an offensive line that needs to mature, that needs to get better. Right now, the defense, Kirk knows Phil Parker's defense is where his bread is buttered this year. Even if the offense gets going toward the end of the year, this is going to be a football team in Iowa lore that will go down as a great defensive unit. And the defense is probably going to take Iowa as far as they go right there.
It did have its issues in the first half. I mean, Colorado State was 9 of 13 on third down conversions in the first half. And the defense had its issues, but then came together, pitched a shutout in the second half. Colorado State only 2 of 10 in that category in the second half. Yeah, Black's forced fumble and Jack Campbell's recovery, what, the 6-yard line, that was huge. And the defense continues to lift this offense in a big, big way.
319-366-1600, 5037 on the text line reminding us, two texters, as a matter of fact, reminding us, cannot do any better through 4 weeks than 4-0. Cyclone Tim weighing in. It's a lazy argument to blame Petras or Purdy for all the team's ills. hey, when you sign up to play quarterback, some of that, whether it is warranted or not, comes your way. You get a lot of the accolades, and you get a lot of the negative talk when it comes there. 30-20, did Iowa play any other running back besides Goodson? Kelly Martin brings a spark, but that's followed by fumbles. I believe he just got a couple of carries in the ball game. Gavin Williams did not carry it until the very end of the ball game. So this was basically a Tyler Goodson game. I would agree about that. 11:56, wondering about the penalty on Laporta in the end zone. He spun the ball.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah. Mark, we're going to have to get you back here, so hang with us for a moment, okay?
I will.
All right. Ben is going to work on that here, and we'll get a few more texts here, but we're going to have to shut the computer and reset that here, and that will reset that thing there, so you're going to have your work cut out for you today, Ben. So thank you very much for doing that. 319-366-1600. Iowa, a winner. Iowa State falls at Baylor, and we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit, as Iowa State now 2-2 on the season, not leaving a very good taste in the mouths of Cyclone fans at this present time. And I said in June and July, I was worried about the Baylor game, and turned out I was prophetic about that. It's a good Baylor team. It's a young Baylor team. They've got a good young coach, a good young staff, and when your special teams are, as quite frankly, as bad as Iowa State's were on Saturday, you're not going to win football games on the road in Power 5 conference play doing what you did right there. Breece Hall had a tremendous game, numerous touchdowns. Iowa State did have a chance on the road, despite everything, to tie it up and possibly take it to overtime and win the ball game that way. But credit Baylor on the two-point try. It was a low snap. It was dropped. Everybody was coming. They sold out right there. But Iowa State now in a spot they did not expect to be at this time, especially with everybody coming back and buying in to what Matt Campbell was throwing out there at 2-2. Where does Iowa State go from here? Well, help is on the way in the form of the Kansas Jayhawks, although Kansas is playing better with their new coach coming down from Buffalo. It is still the basically the same folks that played for the Kansas Jayhawks, though, over the last handful of years. Coaching them up, great, but they're trying to get better. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. We'll talk about that. That thud you heard was the Big Ten West over the weekend. That wasn't very good as well, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. And Mark, are you back?
Present.
You are back. Excellent. Sometimes you just got to do this on the run and on the fly, and we had to do it on the fly and on the run.
Sometimes you need to call an audible, and it works.
Yeah, this was not a tunnel screen.
God, I hate that play.
Well, I tell you what. That play is not called, that pass. Even if the play is called, if the pass is not thrown, it was not there, it was well scouted by Colorado State, who played a really good game, by the way. I mean, you play the what-if game. Okay, fine. Iowa takes it in there. Colorado State doesn't have the ball on the Iowa 10-yard line or wherever it was. It's a 31-7 game at that time. Yeah. And I don't think everybody is really unhappy. Probably finding things to be unhappy about, but 31-7, even the bettors would be happy out there. Yeah, in better land about that, but I'm going to pull a Kirk. That's football.
Well, there's no question. It is. It's football, and don't read too much into, what went on Saturday as we look towards Maryland.
Mm-hmm. 319-366-1600. David and Hudson asking, do you guys think they are rotating too much in the offensive line? That is what, especially with a young offensive line, that is what Kirk has shown that has happened in the past. It's going to continue. I think the rotating will be less. I think you're going to find going into Big Ten play now for the rest of the regular season, you're going to see a little bit more solidifying as far as the front offensive line is concerned. Would you agree with that, Mark?
That would make sense, but who knows? You need to find the chemistry in the offensive line, and right now it's not there. The first couple, three games, there was a lot of rotating in and out. There was a little bit more of it this week. It somehow, some way, just needs to find some consistency. 31-91 on the text line. Both of Colorado State's touchdowns were gifted as they started on the Iowa side of the field. The defense had their backs up against the wall. Not an excuse, but certainly didn't do the defense any favors. And I would throw in there, well, Iowa got a gifted TD too, recovering a fumble at Colorado State's 6-yard line.
That they did. 0945. Reminding folks, if you've been an Iowa fan for a while, you know that the O-line will be fine. Yeah, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Kirk Ferentz and what I have seen over 20-plus years as far as the Iowa offensive line is concerned. Corey in Urbana, I don't necessarily expect the Hawkeyes to win these kind of games by 45 points, but I do hope for a clean game and for plays to be made that are there for the taking. Those are the kind of things that need to be cleaned up, and with experience, I feel that they will. I would agree. I'm sorry, my my attention was diverted. Oh, hey. Well, we'll get to that as far when we talk the NFL. We'll get to that, Mark, when we talk about the National Football League. 26 past the hour of 3 o'clock. We'll talk more about the Hawkeyes. We're going to talk about Iowa State. We're going to talk about the Big Ten. We'll do that, but we want to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind the Taco John's. And what do we have happening today?
Friday's Emil's Hideaway pick six. Scott Unash, the winner.
Woohoo!
Unseeding Dave Alec. Dave and Scott both with 3-3 records, but Scott won on a tiebreaker. I was present. Rocky Lombardi, former Cedar Rapids, Washington football player, was the MAC Western Division Player of the Week for Northern Illinois after he accounted for 401 total yards in a win over Wyoming. Iowa has released its non-conference wrestling schedule. Princeton and Oregon State will come to Carver Hawkeye Arena. The Hawkeyes will travel to Ames in December to face Iowa State. The Hawkeyes also will compete in the national duels in the Midlands. And Oklahoma State is on the schedule. Site to be determined, but rumored to be Globe Life Arena in Arlington. Finally, afternoon baseball on an abbreviated schedule today. Your Chicago White Sox, Scott, leading top of the ninth inning, 8-7 over the Detroit Tigers. If you had Cincinnati in the 13-run pool, you're a winner. The Reds 13-1 over Pittsburgh. That's a final. And lastly, Cleveland has 8-3.
Are the Cardinals ever going to lose again?
They won 16 in a row, and their magic number is 1 for the right to either play the Dodgers or Giants in the wild card. Any of the Giants or Dodgers in going forward. I mean, Dodgers and Giants, they're going to win about 103 or 4 games apiece, and one of them has to win one game just to continue in the playoffs. Crazy.
Make it best 2 out of 3 at least. You're petrified if you're the Dodgers or the Giants right now, aren't you? I mean, the Cardinals right now, everything they are trying is coming up roses at this point. It's crazy.
No question about it. Everything's going right. I think it's the longest winning streak, whether it's St. Louis or Major League Baseball, in 60 years. 16 in a row. I mean, this team was floundering around 500 less than a month ago and believed to be maybe be out of the wild card race. And now it's on the verge of clinching it.
True. 80.877. Laporta should go full Hinkle McCringleberry. if you know that, you know that. I'm not going to explain it at Maryland. Earn that penalty. I watched college football after that game of Iowa and Colorado State Saturday night. Saw five separate incidents where a touchdown was scored and gestures made to the by a touchdown scored by the visiting team. Gestures made toward the home team's crowd. Nothing called, but Laporta spins the ball in the end zone and flags are flying from Tiffin. Let's
and recovering a fumble or something and running 50 yards down to the end zone. You know, they get that from the NFL. The NFL, that's one of my pet peeves in the NFL, too. Pose for a picture after doing your job.
Yeah, the cameras aren't there anymore. We're not on Zoom anymore. So you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. And, yeah, the college guys get down about 40 yards, and then I think somebody on the sideline yells, get back, get back. 86-83, obviously a Cardinal fan, longest winning streak in Major League history, 16 games. I don't think it's the longest. It's the longest in Cardinal history. I don't believe it's the longest in Major League history, but hey, it could keep going. Who knows how that will all play out. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and when we do, we'll talk about Iowa State and Baylor and more on this Monday edition of the Gym Class. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Hang with us. More to come after this on KGYM.
Station.
334 back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Don't forget to each weekday at 5 o'clock, tune in to KGYM's Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire Service with three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Find out more by going to their website at lindertire.com. Speaking of Iowa City, that's where the Todd Brommelkamp Show and Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will be originating from at Big Grove Brewery today from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Step on by. Spencer down there, I believe, as well, as they will take you up to Monday Night Football as the Cowboys and the Eagles get underway tonight, 6:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. 319-366-1600. Talk talks. Let's talk Cyclones. Mark, I said I was very worried even months ago about this Baylor game, and I hated to be right, but I was right. When your special teams are as bad as Iowa State's were on Saturday, it's going to nip you, and it nipped the Cyclones.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, and plus Baylor's speed, which I think showed.
And they're good, and they're a good team.
They're a good football team. No question about it. You thought this was going to be a rough spot, and it was. It was a winnable game for Iowa State, but those miscues and a lack of execution really hurt the Cyclones. And now 2-2 on the year, should get well Saturday night against Kansas. But an interesting rest of the way for a Cyclone team that was ranked in the top 10 earlier this year.
Yeah, and now completely out of the polls. And I think a real crossroads. I mean, Kansas comes at a great time, no doubt about that. Home game against Kansas. But I think you can pretty much resign yourself to the fact that the Big 12 is wide open. Boy, would Iowa State have loved to have seen West Virginia knock off Oklahoma. And they had a chance to do it on Saturday night. But boy, oh boy, Iowa State, I don't think anyone thought they would be 2-2. At this point, as far as the season with what they had coming back and just the momentum coming off of the bowl win and the Fiesta Bowl, the season is not lost. Season is definitely not lost. But you really, really need to string together some wins. Oklahoma State looks very good. Oklahoma has been shaky, I think. Which Texas team do we see? The one that hung 70 and could have probably put in the 80s against Texas Tech. Kansas State, you know, is going to bounce back. TCU lost to SMU at home. That is a rivalry game, but that's still that was a bad loss for TCU. A TCU team that I thought really was going to be a lot better. The defense has not come through so far for Gary Patterson. All is not lost, but you got to start cleaning up the little things if you're Iowa State.
Yeah, and if you're the Cyclones, you have to hope that Baylor loses twice in the league and you run out, because Baylor has that tiebreaker right now with that victory on Saturday. You got to hope to beat Oklahoma. I don't know if running out is what needs. Probably so. You can't afford two losses, right?
No.
I don't think two losses are going to get you in the Big 12 championship game.
319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim, do not despair this much. He's already grabbing paper sacks to put on his head. No, Tim. No. 0945, as far as the Cyclones are concerned, expectations doesn't happen without execution. And 8699 reminding us every conference is pretty much wide open. Not as much as the ACC. Holy cow. Boston College, baby. North Carolina's lost twice. Clemson's lost twice so far with the ACC. The Pac-12 is wide open. Don't even get started with the Big Ten West. We will, but holy cow. The SEC looks interesting. SEC right now with Ole Miss. Ole Miss goes to Alabama this week. We'll see how good Ole Miss is. LSU had a good bounce back, and just a lot of good teams. Arkansas. Where did Arkansas come from? Florida's good. Georgia is excellent. I think the SEC is by far the kingpin again in college football, at least right now for this year.
Yeah, and 8699 makes a great point about every conference being wide open. Whether that's completely true, I don't know. But almost every conference is. I mean, you look at both divisions in the Big Ten. Iowa has to go through the East this week and next. To try to get a leg up in the West. And that's going to be a tough task. Team in Maryland that beat Kent State 37-16 on Saturday, a similar score to what Iowa defeated Kent State. And these next 2 weeks, if you want to be a player in the national picture, you need these next two for Iowa.
Very true. 96-63, I don't even know if Oklahoma is that good this year. I think their defense is better. They also have a young and an inexperienced offensive line, and I think that's showing a little bit. Spencer Rattler is being absolutely thrown to the wolves in Norman right now. People calling for him to be benched as the Oklahoma quarterback. He was the Heisman, probably the Heisman front runner coming into this season, and now Oklahoma folks want him on the bench. Wow. That's all I can say. It's just, wow. Fan bases in this day and age that everybody is an expert on social networking. As far as Iowa State is concerned, you and I both talked about this over the weekend. I kind of put it like this, Mark. It's kind of like the PGA, I'm not going to say the journeyman or anything like that, but even someone on the PGA Tour that goes out and shoots the 60, 61, 62, or even a 59, and then you have to go out and play the next day, and usually it's not anywhere near as good, and you kind of have to compare that to Iowa State most. And the same thing with Iowa when they have the 12-0 year back in 15. Iowa State's year last year, most everything that could have gone right did go right. Is it going right this year? Not right now. Doesn't mean it's not going to start. Doesn't mean it can't get cleaned up as far as execution is concerned. But, it's hard to go back to back. It's hard to go back to back with having breaks happen and just basically everything you need to have go right, go right.
Very true. And, you know, were expectations too high for Iowa State? I don't think so. We were told all along this is a team that was equipped now and a program that was equipped to deal with such expectations, especially with, what, 20 starters back from the same team that did what it did last year? Kirk Ferentz, hey, that's football. You weren't equipped to beat Iowa in Ames, and you weren't equipped to win at Baylor. Simple as that.
Kansas is coming, though. Kansas is coming, though. Yes, 86-99. I am worried for a section of the Iowa fan base if the Hawks lose this year. Going through the season undefeated is going to be a challenge for anybody out there. Saying that, though, the Big Ten West, Mark. Oy, that was not a good day for the Big Ten West. Iowa struggling with Colorado State. What happened to the Minnesota Golden Gophers? And I understand a tweener game. I understand a letdown. But to come home after shutting out Colorado and taking on one of the worst teams in the MAC and only scoring 10 at home and losing is just, that's pretty inexcusable for PJ Fleck.
It is. And that guy that was singing the praises of Minnesota last week. Yeah, that was me. Cause I was really impressed with that 30-0 victory at Colorado. And then to lay an egg against Bowling Green and Wisconsin got rolled at Notre Dame. The big difference there versus the Iowa State situation, those were non-conference losses. And certainly those teams can rebound. Michigan State sitting at 4-0. Michigan, not very impressive on Saturday, but still getting a win. Penn State, 4-0. As far as the West you talked about, you have to say Iowa's the cream of the crop right now. You know, I think Nebraska is playing pretty well, despite losing two games in the league. Wisconsin, very unsure about Wisconsin at this point. Northwestern's been disappointing. Who knows about Minnesota now? And Illinois and Purdue had a pillow fight last weekend. In which Purdue prevailed. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, you talk about Nebraska. Oh, my gosh, Scott Frost today has got to be getting absolutely roasted with time management skills at East Lansing. They had a chance to win that game. Yeah, the East right now is looking very strong. The West, not so much. You mentioned Purdue just got by Illinois. Illinois, other than their first win of the year, 1-4. Minnesota's 2-2. Northwestern sitting at 2-2. Wisconsin, by the way, what happened to trademark Mr. Mertz? Who's
going down in value as we speak.
Yes, plenty of trademark Mertz t-shirts are available in Madison on plenty of sales racks right now after not one but two pick sixes. And I know you got to wing it to try to get back into it, but he wasn't good for the entire game for Wisconsin. And the Badgers right now have no running game. And if Wisconsin has no running game, there is no Wisconsin offense. And I think that is showing right now. Granted, it was against Notre Dame, but the Badgers are 1-2 right now.
And that's crazy to think because Wisconsin has had such a great lineage of running backs. Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor. You go back to Ron Dayne, the Heisman Trophy winner. It's just been one year after another, one running back after another that Wisconsin has had. And it's just been epitomized the Wisconsin offense. Not so much this year.
Yeah. Ohio State has been fine. Other than the Oregon game, Indiana's played a tough schedule. I thought Rutgers looked pretty good in the Michigan game.
They had
a shot to win that game. We'll see with Maryland coming up on Friday night, and Penn State took care of a good Division I AA Villanova team. Don't dismiss Villanova too quickly right there. On the text line, 9663, yes, one of the more bizarre incidents of the weekend took place in Columbus when Kevon Pope, the linebacker for Ohio State, basically quit the football team during the game against Akron on Saturday. And he has been dismissed from the team. He is going to stay on as far as scholarship is concerned, but he has been dismissed from the team and was not very was not very loving toward his Ohio State University on his Twitter account. Did back his teammates, but did not say anything good about Ohio State, the Ohio State University, as far as that is concerned. And so he is not on the team anymore. Did not get a chance to go in and play on certain assignments that he thought he should be in there. And he took his ball and he went home. Simple enough. Not the first to do that. Probably the first to do it during a game, though, and make a big scene. But here we are in 2021.
Sam on the text line, merch shirts now 89 cents at Goodwill.
Ah, 3:48. We're going to get to another break coming up here in a moment. But wanted to hear from our friend Wally real quick here before we get to a break. Wally, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. I'll make this quick, but I do have to say something. I have a cousin that keeps everything that he's ever touched in his life, and I was in this room kind of thumbing around, and who did I see but the sports director for the Gazette 1986, Mark Dukes. You should have seen his picture of those big round glasses, long hair over his ears. Okay, here's my deal. Okay, we had a running back some years back, and he had to carry a football around campuses, and people are trying to knock it out of his arm. I don't know if I'm on the right track here or not, but how about sticking Petrus in the game in the film room, having him watch Long, Vlasic, both Hartleys, even though they ran, and Burmeister, and I'm leaving somebody out. I know I am. Vlasic, I said that. Is that something that he needs, or are they just kind of disguising the plays right now and what he can really do? I'm kind of leaning towards that. I can't hang up. I got to listen to what you say. I don't have a radio.
All right. Thanks, Wally.
I think it'd be more beneficial, Wally, if the offensive line got in the film room and watched tape of Balaga and Scherf and Worf and many others.
True.
Yeah.
True. It's hard to throw on your back. But, you know, I think the kid's going to be really good. I'm not negative on him. I'm just saying, you know, Chuck Long could throw the ball like a sidearm, kind of like Mahomes. Kansas City. Yeah. But anyway, those quarterbacks were good. And he dropped two dimes Saturday.
Yes, he did.
To the same receiver, true freshman from Omaha, right on the money. And that kid watched him fall right in his hands. So, don't be discouraged with this kid. I think maybe he just, you know, he got too big of a head when he got to the University of Iowa and a couple of redshirt freshmen knocked his block off, and which they should. But I ain't with him. The defense is unbelievable. Do they get to the ball fast or what? And if they called half the holding in that game that he played Saturday, it would never have been a contest. I'll let you guys go.
Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it. Holding is not called unless it's out in the middle, in the open, going after the quarterback, and even that is a little iffy at times.
I don't want to see that picture either, Wally.
319-366-1600. It is 351. Yeah, man overboard in Minneapolis. 67-14 reminds us. And, yes, Sam with the line of the day, the merch shirts are now 89 cents. Trademark merch. Keep that in mind. 3:52, we're going to take a break, come back, and have a little bit more of the gym class for you. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union right after this here on KGYM.
Would you rather?
And Todd will be down there. Todd, Prommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock coming your way here on KGYM. 3:53 coming up tomorrow on the program. Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us, and we'll recap Iowa's Colorado State game. Look ahead to Maryland with Scott. We'll do that on the program tomorrow. We'll look back at Monday Night Football as well. 319-366-1600 if you would like to get a last-minute text in or a phone call before we hit the top of the hour, 4 o'clock here today. And we talked about the Big Ten West. We talked a little bit about Iowa State, talked about the Hawkeyes as well. Mark, the National Football League, hey, help is on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, the Kansas City Chiefs have just signed Josh Gordon, becoming, what, the ninth team to sign Josh Gordon before he becomes suspended once again. Didn't know Josh Gordon played defense, but I could be surprised by that. All our ills have been taken care of.
Win totals have not changed at the various books, Scott. But you need defense. My Bears need offensive line play.
Whoa, what happened? I thought the savior was coming in on Sunday.
The Bears do not have a quarterback problem. They have an offensive line problem, and they have, to a certain extent, a head coaching play calling problem. Fields was sacked 9 times. I don't know who could have survived that. And Cleveland's very good defensively, don't get me wrong. But that offensive line was Swiss cheese. And it wasn't Fields' fault. Andy Dalton couldn't have done any better. Nick Foles couldn't have done any better. And now Nagy's saying he's open to any of the 3 starting this week at home against Detroit.
Nick Foles in there as well. misery loves company, Mark. That's all I can say. With you and me and others, 1-2 or 0-3 at this present time. Here's the deal. Here's my complaint. And it's an old one. And it's to the point now I almost can't watch it, but I'm so tired of National Football League officiating. The Detroit Lions had a win literally taken away from them yesterday. There's no other way to describe it. Taken away from them yesterday by inept officiating. Not once, but twice. Should have been an intentional grounding on Lamar Jackson, number one. Number two, before the 66-yard field goal that in Detroit Lion fashion hits the crossbar, bounces up and over, only could happen to the Detroit Lions. The play clock expired on the previous play by 2 or 3 seconds. I mean, it wasn't the usual, okay, you get an extra split second, because in the NFL, the back judge, according to Gene Steratore, looks at the play clock and then has to look at the ball, and then if the ball is not hiked, then it is delay of game. Every other level, you get to 0, and it's delay of the game. Now, in the NFL, and apparently if you're the Baltimore Ravens, you get 2 or 3 extra seconds. I mean, if I'm Dan Campbell or anybody with the Detroit Lions, I am putting up a royal stink today.
I don't disagree with you. I saw multiple games where there were issues, but I've always believed and will continue to believe that don't put yourself in that position for the officials to decide a game. That's easier said than done, especially in the NFL. The Bears-Browns game the other day or yesterday, the Browns were called for pass interference on one of those long passes downfield that resulted in a 40-yard penalty. Well, it was an atrocious call, and it went for my team, but it was an atrocious call. And we saw in the Kansas City game and others. So I don't know what to do about it.
I don't know. I'd say get better if it, Whatever. It's just, I don't know what is pass interference, what isn't pass interference, what is offensive pass interference, what is not offensive pass interference. Well, Niners last night, just ahead of halftime in the Packer game. Garoppolo, it was intentional grounding. There was not a receiver. He was in the pocket before the touchdown run by Lance. Just threw it in the ground. No flag.
Yeah.
I don't understand the inconsistencies of it. All right, there you go, on my soapbox. Stay tuned, Todd and Alex coming your way next. Spencer as well down at Big Grove in Iowa City. We'll have Scott Dockerman joining us tomorrow. We'll talk more about Hawkeye football at that time. And we've got Monday Night Football, the Eagles and the Cowboys tonight at 6:30, Cycle and Sideline show as well, 1600 and 102.3 FM. Talk to you tomorrow at 3, everybody.
You're in a race against time.